meeting this evening. And before we start, a couple of points. One, concerning mobile phones. If you've got a phone that's on, can you switch it off, please? And can I ask that any members of the public that are here, if they would refrain from making any comments during the discussions that take place. On my right, I've got officers from the planning department, and on my left, I've got officers from the law and administration department. Officers from the planning department will present the application that we're considering tonight. Members of the public who have indicated they wish to speak will be given 3 minutes, and there's a table there where they can sit, and we'll indicate when there's a minute left of the 3 minutes so that they can, the speaker can sum up. Ward members are allowed to speak for 5 minutes. An audio recording has been taken of this meeting, and that will be published on the council's website. Members of the committee are reminded that they do not enjoy any special immunity in relation to any comments made, etc. And members can only deal with the planning application before them in accordance with the National Planning Policy Framework and the local plan, together with any other relevant planning matters. We can now move on to the agenda. The minutes of the previous meetings have been posted.
They're non-submitted at the moment, Chairman.
Are there any apologies?
Yes, Chairman. Apologies from Councillor McEwen and from Councillor Trowbridge, who's substituted by Councillor James.
Have you received any declarations of interest, or are there any declarations of interest? No, thank you. Any delegated applications, they will be circulated separately. So we'll go on now to item five of the agenda, which is 22/361/22/COU, land adjacent to 7 Goosemore Lane, Goosemore, Church Eaton, Staffordshire. So, can I ask you to present this, please?
Yes, thank you,
Jessica.
Sir.
Thank you.
So, the location plan shows the extent of the site outline in red. This application relates to a site located off Goosemore Lane, which is located to the northwest of Church Eaton. The site comprises a small parcel of garden land to the north of 7 Goosemore Lane, measuring around 237 metres squared. The land has been sold off from 7 Goosemore to the applicant and is now separated from the host dwelling. This is an aerial view of the application site. To the north and south of the site are residential properties. The rest of the surrounding area is open countryside. The existing vehicle access is on the western boundary of the site. This is a plan of the photos that I'm about to present. The first photo is looking west towards the site, detailing the existing garage that is already present on site. The second image is looking northwest towards the site, looking towards the boundary treatments which have already been put into place. The third image is taken within the application site facing northwest. And the fourth image is also taken within the application site, showing to the southeast, which also shows the existing outbuilding within the site. The first plan shows the location plan. Just a quick summary of what the application seeks to achieve. It's for the change of use of this garden land to V8 storage, which would be for the private use of the applicant. Plan 2 shows the proposed site plan with the existing buildings shown as well. And Plan 3 shows the elevations of the existing outbuilding, and plan 4 shows the elevations of the existing garage on site. As stated within the report, the land currently has a block-built garage and a dilapidated outbuilding, and the applicant has erected a 1.8 metre high fence around the site and the permitted development. The principle of this development is deemed to be acceptable. The development would form storage for the applicant's personal use, which would be minor in nature and would, as such, not harm the rural character of the surrounding area. The basis of the approval of this application is due to the proposed development being solely for the use of the land by the applicant, with no commercial operations proposed. To secure this, two conditions have been recommended to be added to any consent granted. See conditions 2 and 3 at the bottom of the report. These conditions would also address any concerns relating to disturbance and noise raised by the neighbouring properties. It is noted that the boundary treatments that have been placed around the application site already by the applicant do detract from the character of the area, which is why I've recommended a condition that a planting scheme is implemented to screen the fencing, which will be submitted within 1 month if this application is approved. The highways officer have also requested a condition to retain the on-site parking space in front of the existing garage, but raises no objection overall to the proposed development. In conclusion, subject to the conditions recommended, it is considered that this development is not considered to result in harm to the character of the area, the amenity of the neighbouring properties, or result in any issues relating to highway safety. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have an objector, Mr. Jason Grew. Do you like to come to the table?
Thank you.
You have, as I said in my introduction, 3 minutes to state the reason for your objections. So when you're ready, perhaps you could start.
Thank you. I've lived in Goosemore for 25 years and I have the residents of Goosemore with me this evening. Thank you. I'm representing the residents of Goosemore. 17 objections have been registered covering all properties non-submitted in support, along with parish council objection. Representation in official capacity was made to SPC on the 7th of February 22 regarding inappropriate activity prior to application for change of use, including nuisance, ongoing noise pollution from a digger, alleged permanent residency and bonfires close to propane bottles. The committee report statements, section 1 and 2, are completely self-contradictory in respect of the harm imposed on the rural character of Goosemore. Since acquiring the garden and up until planning submission, the applicant permanently parked a dilapidated camper van, a transit van, a digger, a pickup, a Suzuki hatch, an Astra estate and 2 vans, utilising all available garden space, garage frontage and overspilling onto the single track lane, resulting in significant visual impact and narrowing for farm traffic, cyclists and horse riders. Permanent utilisation at such scale ridicules the statement in section 3 of the committee report, quoting, "Usage is no more harmful than a standard domestic garage." The applicant stated within section 2.1 of his design statement that he previously owned and then sold number 7, retaining 237 square metres of garden. Documentary evidence shared with planning from the Land Registry confirmed this to be wholly misrepresentative claim. I put it to the committee that it would not be possible to confuse the process of both purchasing and selling a property with all associated frustrations and complexities, and therefore can only be a direct attempt to influence a positive outcome for the planning department. In addition to undermining the credibility of a planning outcome, it shows complete contempt for the planning process. Additionally, these prior ownership statements have been included and factored with the Highways Consultation Report, but omitted from the committee planning report in front of you this evening. Prior ownership actually referenced twice by Highways in their outcome. We as residents wholly believe the applicant's misrepresentation has materially impacted upon these consultation decisions and a golden thread that runs through and undermines this entire planning application.
There's a minute there.
How can the planning committee be asked to arrive at a credible and appropriate conclusion based on a fabricated and evidenced alleged fraudulent submission? 7.1 of the design statement states that vehicle movements will not increase, as this has previously been used as a residential dwelling. Traffic ingress egress number 7 does not relate to the site covered under this application. Traffic has been significantly increased due to the residents arriving and departing daily in a convoy of vehicles to site from their residence in Dudley, usually 2 cars followed by a motorcycle. In summary, the residents with me tonight pressed the committee to reject this proposal on the grounds of additional traffic and highway overspill, noise pollution, harm to the rural character of this acknowledged idyllic location, business rather than private use, as I understand Mr. Kendall works in the motor trade, but most importantly, how can the planning committee arrive at any outcome this evening based on a deliberately fabricated planning application? Thank you.
Thank you. We haven't got a supporter.
No channel.
Okay. I'll ask the ward member to address the committee. Good evening.
Good evening.
Give me 2 seconds. You start. Your clock ticking.
Right, good evening and thank you in advance for listening to the thoughts of myself and as a conduit for the residents, and I hope you appreciate that there's, I think, 17 residences in Goosemore and they're all here. It does give you an idea of the strength of feeling about this planning application. The application itself, I've seen many applications. This one is probably, apologies to officers, one of the most complicated and inconsistent as you go through it. We'll start with the reasons I called it in was around street scene. As I said, this is a rural area. It is a leafy residential area, not an industrial estate. And this is what is particularly concerning residents. And you have seen that the photographs of the site, as it is at present. As has been mentioned also, in terms of the character, previous to the application being put in, I was assured that there was a multitude of vehicles on that site. If we go to point 3, it says there, environmental health officer has asked for working hours restriction, and the application has stated that, as the application stated, there's no commercial business, it doesn't need working hours, but that's the first inconsistency, the first time it's mentioned that there's working hours required. In terms of parking, you've already heard from the residents, there's parking, and if you go down that lane there, it's a typical rural lane. A good sized tractor or lorry will fill it, and if there's vehicles parked there, it's going to cause no end of problems without the visual impact. So parking will be a problem, sadly. This points around access into there. If the cars are parked where they're supposed to be parked, in front of the garage, they've got to get any other vehicles, have got to try and find access. It is a tight site in that respect. Highways have recommended in their bit, there should only be parking for Mr. Kendall. And the next paragraph from our environmental health again mentions tools, servicing vehicles and working hours. My question is, why? If we're convinced that as an authority that it's not a poor planning committee, application that will mean that there's commercial things, why do we mention twice working hours within the report? Now I realise that there's conditions that have been put on to stop commercial use, but we've all seen places out of the way where the planning application comes in and then our environmental health people are up there, so it's really up to the committee to make their mind up about this application. In terms of the conditions, I think the one that really concerns me is the one about hedging over around the edge. Now, if you won't travel to the site, but you'll see on the photographs, the fence does go right up to the road edge. So, where are we going to put? So where is the hedge going to go?
There's a small area of grass at the bottom.
Okay, I think this is something that neighbours are concerned about. There was a hedge there originally that's been taken out.
You've got 1 minute left, Mark.
Okay, I mean, it's great. I can work with that. There is confusion around whether this is going to be a business or have a residential aspect in the future. And I would suggest that the committee reject this application in the terms of it not being fully convinced by the report given to them, that this application that the committee is not convinced that the application is not for a residential or commercial development. And as such, SP6 and policy thereafter E2 and E5 are relevant to this application, and as such, this proposed development is deemed unacceptable. Thank you for your time.
Through you, Chair.
Yes, thank you. Importantly, with respect to the boundary treatment, as was said within the officer's presentation, the fence was put up under permitted development rights. So that structure is therefore lawful. It's the application is that the condition imposed is to try and soften the impact of something that's already there that's lawful by virtue of the general permitted development order. So that's trying to address something that's on site at the moment through this application, and then that's why the landscaping condition is there, is to soften the visual impact of the fence that's already there. In relation to the imposition of conditions, the reason why we impose a condition is to control the development. It's basically specific to the applicant, and also specific to specifically excludes any business operations. The fact that there are worries and concerns that the applicant may use it for commercial purposes is something that there is a condition there. If they were to operate a business from the site, that would be in breach of that condition, and we would be able to take enforcement action against it. So the reason the condition there is there is to make sure that doesn't take place. So just to clarify the reason why we're seeking to control it.
Thank you for that.
Councillor Dixon, you indicated, and then I'll come to Councillor Beattie and then Councillor Edgeworth.
A point of clarification, that fence, I was under the impression that anything over 1 metre in height had to be 1 metre from the curb into the property, and that does not look like it's a metre from the curb into the property.
Clarification from this. I need to speak to Solicitor in relation to that. Okay. The legislation under Schedule 2, Part 2, Class A of the General Permitted Development Order does say that if it's within 1 metre of the public, it's abutting the public highway, then it would require planning permission if it is deemed to be abutting. Now, obviously, talking to the officer, they're saying that the lawful development certificate to establish that has not been submitted as part of the application, and therefore at this moment in time that doesn't form part of the application, but it would appear you are correct in saying if that hasn't been it doesn't form part of the application, it wouldn't form part of the application, would need to be picked up as part of that application. So just as a matter of clarification, you are correct.
The point I'm making is that fence is not permitted development.
In talking to the officer, it would appear that hasn't been picked up as part of the application, and talking to the officer, they're saying that hasn't been dealt with through a lawful dwelling certificate. So you're entirely correct that it is in fact outside the application. Basically, it would need to be included within this application if it was to be granted. So I think at this moment in time, we would be saying that actually that needs to be included because it's obviously an authorised development if it doesn't have that permission and hasn't formed part of this application. So it would be that members would have two options here. One would be to consider the application, and then we would need to resolve the matter of the unauthorised fence. Alternatively, you could ask the application to be deferred to allow the fence to be incorporated within that, and then you can bring it back and consider it all as part and parcel of the same thing. It's entirely up to you. It's a difficult one because there was a understanding that the fence was lawful, but you are in fact correct. It isn't abutting the public highway. It is abutting the public highway, and if it's within that distance, then it would need to be regularised through the application itself.
You've had your 5 minutes, Mark, but you wanted to make a point of clarification.
I am, yes. As the ward member, I'm disappointed, probably it's a polite way of putting it, that this application, as I said, was complicated before. There's been two mentions of working hours and everything else, and now we find out it can't actually be heard as it is. I would ask that it's thrown out forthwith. And I'd ask someone on the committee to actually ask
how
to
do that kind of work.
Yeah, okay.
For clarification through you, Chair, the clarification on the working hours, the consultation response is not the local planning authority, when it deals with the planning application, goes out to consultees, and one of the consultees is an environmental health officer. The environmental health officers come back making reference to working hours. Now, the fact that they are making reference to working hours when it's not intended as part of the application to be a business is basically they're saying if it was a commercial business. But that's not what's being applied for. What's being applied for is for private storage of a motor vehicle for the person's own enjoyment. Then, we look at that comment and say, okay, but this isn't what actually is being applied for. If it's being applied for storage of motor vehicles for the enjoyment of that person as an individual and it's not commercially based, then we would assess it on that basis. That's the basis of it's not a commercial application. It is for a resident's use. That's specifically why we've imposed an unusual condition, or not an unusual condition, but they're quite rare, in that you put a personal permission on, so it binds it only to that person, and you also, within that condition, we preclude any business uses. So if it was to be used by anyone other than the applicant themselves, or for any form of commercial business whatsoever, we would be able to serve a breach. We would investigate the expediency of taking enforcement action through a breach and condition notice.
Okay, I'll carry on with take comments from other people. So, Councillor Beattie, you wanted to...
My first point was exactly the point that Councillor Nixon's made when we've been dealing with another case that was dissimilar to this, but the same principles applied, that it was not sufficiently far away from the road. I'm concerned about the Environmental Health Officer's comments. I'm concerned at the expression of private storage for a whole lot of vehicles. There's not much explanation of that. And I would like to propose that we reject this application on particularly on the grounds that it doesn't incorporate the planning application for the fence.
I'll second that.
And I'd also like to add that it has an impact on the rural character of the local community.
Yeah.
And I assume I'm not allowed to make a point that it's for business, not private use.
It is for private use.
Private use. And I understand why the conditions.
Of course it is.
I would like to know whether the inaccuracies are actually as stated by Councillor Winnington as well, because it sounds like there are all sorts of things in there that aren't actually correct.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
So I don't know how you can turn those into a refusal, but my preference would be to refuse it outright.
Councillor Angela?
Yeah. I just wanted clarification, actually. You say it's not private use and it's not the business use. Can someone tell me whether
it is allegedly it's for private use.
Sorry?
Allegedly it is for private use, not for commercial use.
I know, I understand that, but what I'm asking is the person that owns this property, does he run a business elsewhere? Does he run a business from elsewhere? Because my concern is, if he's running a business from elsewhere and he's got vehicles, that they're going to end up somewhere around there and on the lane as well.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. That information is not before this committee as it sits at the moment. Councillor James, had you made all your points, Councillor Urchela?
Yes, thank you. But I second what Frank.
Yes, I note that. Councillor.
Mr. Chairman, I was going to add that not only should we reject his application outright, but I would like to see and monitor enforcement action taken and get that fence removed.
Did I take a signal from you, Councillor Cooper?
Only probably reiterating what Councillor Edgler just said, Chair. What worries me is when a business, when private use is private use and when it becomes a business. If you are a hobbyist with collecting cars and that's your hobby, I can understand it. But it does beggar the imagination, you know, if the chap's in the car trade and he's storing vehicles there. It's not beyond the wit of man to put two and two together, and it concerns me that we get fogged with this kind of thing. It's not, unfortunately, it's like a material consideration.
Okay. Councillor Nixon?
I would second what Councillor James said, that we get an enforcement order and have that fence removed.
Yeah. Is that within our capability?
The fence is not part of the application.
Well, I know. In the remit of tonight, that fence is not part of our consideration, but we note what has been said, and that information can be taken back to the enforcement people.
Yeah,
with our view strongly expressed.
Know what you say. We've obviously looked at that. You have got concerns about the height of the fence. It doesn't form part of the application site, so it's not forming part of the application. So it's not to be considered tonight. But if you are concerned about the height of it, and it clearly does need to be looked at from a perspective of whether or not it requires, the council will investigate the expediency of taking enforcement action against that, which is what we will do. So it will be looked at as a result of this conversation this evening.
But Chairman, in response to that, the hedging is, and the hedging can't take place until that fence is removed. Anybody who's involved in planting hedges will know that.
Well, that's true. There's not much space to plant a hedge.
So it's impossible for him to fulfil the condition.
We've already taken it.
Councillor Hood.
Thank you.
And then Councillor Pardesi.
On page 5, under character and appearance, it talks about policy N1 a new development should demonstrate a high standard of design. I can't quite find the high standard of design also, in the paragraph underneath, it points out that the applicant has removed the hedgerow, serving as a previous boundary, and replaced it with the boarded fence. I find it quite puzzling that they've not tried to fit in with the surrounding area, which surely they would know is very, very important, and has stone walls and hedging. So I'm not inclined to support this application.
Thank you. Councillor Pardaisy.
Chair, just to clarification, was it being suggested that we have two options, one of rejecting this application and one of deferring it so that we can include the fence or other sort out other inaccuracies or whatever?
I think the proposal that has been tabled and the seconded is that this proposal is rejected.
That was my preference.
And we need to be guided as to whether we have got justification for their so doing. And I think from what has been said by the officers that we probably have.
Do you want? Thank you. Through you, Chair. Obviously, members are concerned about this development and this proposed use, and that you think that the proposal would adversely impact upon the character of the area and the residential community and neighbouring properties. We obviously have a policy N1 which does cover that, so it would be, from listening from what you're saying, it would be the adverse impact upon the residential community through the use of the land. Obviously the fence doesn't form part of this application, so it wouldn't be impact looking at the fence, but it would be looking at the actual proposed use and the adverse impact, you think. We've obviously, I would say we have put a condition on to control the proposed development, so we are saying that there is a means by which you could control it. So there is an issue there in terms of the strength of any potential refusal, and I obviously have the issue duty to advise you of that. But if members are minded to, and it is your choice, it's not the officer's choice, it's your decision to make, if you think that that's the case, then on the basis of that, then we would be able to come up with a reason for refusal based upon residential amenity and the character of the area and to policy N1.
Okay, thank you for that clarification, it's helpful. Does anybody else want to... Yes, they do.
Yes, on a lighter note, I'd just like to point out that on page 8, the neighbours consulted complain about nosy and disturbance.
Nosy?
Nosy and disturbance.
Should be noise.
Yeah.
Noise.
Councillor Cooper?
So in terms of including in Councillor Beattie's proposal, if I may, are we including adverse street scene in there as a material consideration?
Yep.
Well, yes.
Yes, yes, thank you.
And the rural character, which was...
Yeah.
Is that N1?
Yeah.
No, that would be...
That's the...
Yes, it is N1. Yeah.
So the proposal that we are considering is... Do you want to set it out again, Councillor Beattie?
That we refuse it on the grounds of impact on the rural character, of impact on design, or the problems of design, and the particularly the street scene. Can we go on? Do we want to go on access?
No, I think we've got enough reasons there. The committee is happy with that.
I think that we ought to include the noise and light, because we've had a case like this in my ward, and that has been the biggest problem. And, small garage, and the engines are revving, weekends and evenings.
Okay.
Could I just say, just seek clarification on the high reason. the reasons you're putting forward are very subjective, because they're the opinion that it would cause harm to the character of the area. In terms of the access has been deemed to be acceptable from a highways perspective, and therefore they are looking at a more objective professional opinion. So if
so
we were to
remove the highways.
So the highways reason would be because it's coming from an expert who's saying it's in accordance with manuals of streets, and making sure that it meets all those criteria would be very difficult for us.
I suspect if that's exactly what you would say, and so I'm happy to withdraw that particular point and stick to the impact on the rural character and the street scene.
Design.
And particularly the design.
Okay.
Or lack of design.
Okay, I'll put it that way. Okay, so are you happy with that? Okay, so those in favour of the proposal that's been tabled by Councillor Beattie and seconded by Councillor, please indicate. Have you voted, Councillor? Yes, you have. So that's unanimous.
Chair, just one final very important bit. Can I thank the committee and the officers for listening to this tonight? And on behalf of myself and all the residents of Turndale.
The whole of Goosemore is here.
Yeah.
I don't think we've had that situation before. Well, a whole community comes to the planning committee.
Must be nothing on the television.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, we now go on to planning appeals, and I'm looking at page 11. Is there anything on there that anybody wants to raise? It's page 11 on mine, anyway.
That's the list, yeah.
Okay, page 12.
Yes, can we raise the point of costs here?
In the
1930
yeah. Silver
Lane meeting.
Yes, I was looking at that.
Can you give a background
to the night? What's involved with the costs on 19/304/84?
There's an appeal decision is set out in the back.
That's page 18.
I can't believe
what normally happens with a case of costs, and we could certainly bring it back to you, what normally happens with a case of costs is that the cost goes, they make a decision and advise that it's a case of, and hold in favour, but they don't, what then happens is it's for us to then agree with the appellant what those reasonable costs are going to be, and then we try and reach an agreement on that. So I can certainly come back to you with the advice on how much that would, the water cost would be. But at the moment, I wouldn't be able to tell you, because I think this decision is, I'm not sure that's actually been resolved yet. So the inspector doesn't award a specific cost. It basically awards a cost based upon a where they think that the authority has not supported their case strongly enough and has acted unreasonably, and at that point they then go away and we speak to them, and then they then make a submission across to us, and we then consider whether or not that's reasonable or not.
But through you, Chairman, it's unusual for costs to be awarded against this authority. We do quite well, I think, in the main. This just seemed an odd one because it was a land drainage issue, which you'd have thought would be sort of clear cut one way or another, decided by drainage engineers. So I don't quite know what's happened. Just be interesting.
It would be useful to have a,
yeah,
a note
just
about.
To
yeah, we can. I can certainly circulate
can
a note to the
members
about
the committee.
Yes, I can certainly do that. It's no problem to whatsoever.
I can't believe we passed it actually because of the flooding that happens down there. But very well.
Mm. Okay. So is it?
Sorry, I was asking if I could speak.
So yeah, of course.
Page 19, number 5, it states, although the council has provided little evidence as to what information is insufficient. Why?
Yeah, that's
where
was
that?
Where is that? Number 5, page 19.
It seems strange that we haven't provided evidence, being as
that was the point I was making about the water engineer.
It's certainly in terms of coming back to members with
Please.
That, I can look into
it. Which is an unusual situation for the authority to be in. I think it would be useful to have clarification.
And just to see if we can, if there's anything that we need to improve on.
Yeah.
I will do this.
Right.
Can I just ask, are we allowed to appeal against the appeal decision?
Do you, Chair?
Why not? I'm sorry.
Sometimes, if we feel we'd like to, the only it's the authority rests with the planning inspector. They make the final decision. If, however, we are of the view that they have erred in law, the only recourse would be through a judicial review of the decision. And then we do through it. We could only do that as if it would not relate to the actual decision itself,
yeah.
Unless that decision was deemed to have been erred in law, effectively, and unsafe. So there is recourse through the courts, but that's quite unusual for us to actually pursue that. Sometimes local authorities do, but in terms of not liking the decision, no, that's
so
it.
You're advocating that don't appeal against the appeal.
Find out what the water engineer
says.
Judicial reviews can be very costly in terms of time and money, so we would only do it, I think, if we were pretty much certain that we would actually succeed in
it.
Good. Is there anybody else want to raise an issue about an appeal?
No.
Good. Okay. There is another planning committee this. Before we go into Perdue, isn't there? One. Would it be possible to have... I suppose you can't guarantee, but it would be good to have more than one application for consideration. I'm sure
yes.
There must be more than one. It would be useful. That we haven't had a full agenda for some time. It would be useful that... I don't want to have too many.
Councillors can call a few more in, just to...
When's the next one, Chairman?
Well, 3 weeks from today.
2 weeks?
Three.
15. Do you want me to respond to that?
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously, one of the things we're trying to do is to determine the applications in front of us at the moment, and there are applications that do need to come to committee. We're obviously trying to put those through at the moment, and obviously that's part of the ongoing process of development management. I appreciate there's only one today. Sometimes that does happen, it's unavoidable, but obviously...
I think for the last three or four meetings we've been looking at just one, and it's some time before we've had a traditional agenda which had three, four,
yeah.
Five, and I think I'd like to see it go back to that situation. I know that it's dependent upon call-ins being withdrawn, etc., but I think if we managed it properly, I think we could get a reasonable agenda together.
I think there were, through you again, Chairman, I believe there were five separate agendas.
Yeah.
And
four withdrawn.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks.
Thank you.
That was unusual, as far as we don't usually get a whole village sitting before us.